As I was thinking about this week's sermon, I was really torn between two titles, because I'm continuing on in talking about the Holy Spirit in us, and yet, so I kind of wanted that in the title, you know, so that we can see the continuation. But really, what I wanted to call my sermon this morning, what I wanted to title it, was Doubly Blessed. Because I think we are doubly blessed. First of all, the first blessing is that we live in a country where we can worship our God freely. And we have freedom. We can travel. You know, I can take off in my car and I can go down to Portland and I can come back. And people can go across the country, and we have the freedom to move around. We have the freedom of making decisions about our own careers. We have so many freedoms, but the most important freedom that we have in this nation, as far as I am concerned, is the freedom that we have to worship our God and to believe the way that we desire to believe. And so we are so blessed as Christians to live in this nation that allows us to do this. And in fact, to live in this nation that was founded on the fundamentals of our faith. We've strayed from it, which I just love that song, you know. Catch your church on fire. Yeah. No, don't burn it down. Get it moving, you know, or maybe you need to burn it down to get it moving. I don't know, but, you know, we are so blessed and we have such freedom, and we need to stand on those freedoms as Christians, and we need to make it known that we love that freedom, and we want to protect that freedom that we have of worship. So that is definitely a blessing that we have living in this country. Of course, the irony of that is, if we have the freedom to worship God in our country without the risk of persecution, why is it that the church in China, which is being persecuted every day and does not have that freedom, is outgrowing the church in the United States? That makes no sense. Well, it does, I think. Actually, when you stop and think of it, we're so comfortable that maybe we're not trusting the Lord like we should. Those Christians in China, they're trusting the Lord every day. Every day, they're trusting the Lord. So anyway, folks, we need to get on fire for the Lord, and we do need to win our nation back, because we have slipped a long, long ways. So we have the freedom of our nation, but we also have another freedom that is spelled out in the book of Romans, chapter 8. Great passage of scripture. We're going to be just looking at the first four verses here. And as I mentioned before, I kind of want to keep this brief. Melissa says I actually make more sense when I don't talk so much. She probably didn't put it quite that way, but I catch her drift, and she's absolutely right. You know, I think sometimes we want to say so many words, and the message is really very plain, and we don't need to beat it to death. So anyway, we're going to, if you open up your Bibles to Romans chapter 8, and we're going to look at those first four verses in Romans chapter 8. Great passage of scripture. It says, Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and of death. For what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did, sending His Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and as an offering for sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, so that the requirements of the law may be fulfilled in us, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this nation, for the freedoms that we have. Lord, may we always have these freedoms to worship you. But Lord, we want to thank you even more for the freedom we have in Jesus Christ. The freedom that so many people in this world enjoy, even though they may live in countries that don't allow them to openly worship. Lord, still they are free in you because they have been freed from their sins and they have been freed from the consequences of sin. Lord, as we look at this freedom that we all have in common, just pray that you would speak to our hearts, that we would realize how blessed we truly are to live in this nation and to have a God who loves us so much that he freed us from the punishment of our sins. Lord, speak to us through your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. This, again, is a great passage of scripture, and it just deals with the freedom that we have through Jesus Christ, the freedom that we have in God, and it just there's some great things that I want to bring out, great points. I mean, it's not going to be this, you know, bing, 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 bing. Just some observations that I had as I looked at this passage and studied it, I think I've read through this one so many times because it's so rich. And there's so many things I wanted to say, and it's like, okay, now don't get all tangled up in the words. Just present the things that jump out at you. And so I did. So the first thing that we're going to look at is we are free from condemnation as Christians, as believers. We are free from condemnation. Another word for that is we are free from being judged guilty for our sins. We are free from being judged guilty for our sins. The Bible is very clear. The wages of sin is death. But it also says, but the gift of God is life through Jesus Christ. See, the world stands condemned in its sin. But for those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, whom God sent to us, he took the payment. He took the punishment for our sins, and he put it upon himself, and he died, taking that punishment with him. And because of that, we are not condemned for our sins. Romans 8:1, very clear. Therefore, now there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Now, it's really important. It says, for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because Jesus is the way, the only way. We talked about that a little bit in Sunday school. And we're going to be discussing, even though maybe you didn't see the videos this morning, the Tony Evans videos, I invite you to our Sunday school class next Sunday. Actually, I'm going to invite you to come at 9 o'clock and join the Mitchells in prayer. There's a group of four or five that gather for prayer, and they pray for the Sunday school and for the church and for the pastors. So come at 9 and join them, and then hang around at 9:30 because our class is going to be discussing Emmanuel and Jesus. And even though you didn't hear Tony Evans talk, it's going to be a great discussion that we're going to have on those two names. So I invite you to come for that. But no condemnation for those who are in Jesus Christ. Romans 8:33 and 34, just a little farther down in this passage of Scripture, Paul writes, who will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Jesus Christ, who died, yes, rather who was raised, is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. So what Paul is presenting is a very logical argument here. It is God who justifies. God, the Almighty, God who has the final say in all things. He is the one who justifies. And sitting at his right hand is Jesus Christ, who is interceding for us. Which, what he is saying here is that Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. And, you know, we're kind of painting a picture here that is very simple. And just so that we kind of understand it, you know, you see God, but you don't see God. You see his glory sitting on the throne because you can't see God. And then Jesus Christ next to God. And I just envisioned them in conversation. And God is saying, Richard didn't do that very right, did he? And Jesus saying, yeah, he kind of blew that, but I died for him. And he knows me. And I love him, and he loves me. And so God says, well, then I forgive you. You know, I know that's very simple. Very simple. But I think we need to be simple sometimes. We have God, who is the one who justifies, who clears our name, and he does it through Jesus Christ, who is interceding for us. So we are free from condemnation. John 3:17 tells us that Jesus Christ did not come into the world to judge or to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So in the name of Jesus Christ, we have passed from being judged and being condemned to being free from condemnation through Jesus Christ. And then as we go on to Romans chapter, verse 2 of chapter 8, we read, "For the law of the Spirit of life," that's the Holy Spirit, "in Christ has set you free from the law of sin and death." Okay, and I quoted that one verse before. It's not on the overhead, but you all know it so well. The wages of sin is death. "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." Those are verses that are drilled into us. But they're verses we need to listen to. We've all sinned, and the wages of sin is death. But because of the work of Jesus Christ, and because of the Holy Spirit who lives in us, now we see we see Jesus and the Holy Spirit working in tandem here. The Holy Spirit in us is a seal of the work that Jesus Christ has done for us. And he sets us free from the law. Now, the law is not bad. The law is very good. But one of the things the law cannot do is it cannot save us. So if you are trying to live your life and to do everything according to the law, you're going to fail. Now, some of you are probably way better at it than I am. But you're still going to fail. And there's one thing about the law is it gives no provision for if you fail. It's a benchmark. This is how we are to live. So we don't throw the law out. But we also understand it is our best friend and it is our worst enemy. Because it shows us how we should live, but it tells us how we're not living. And because of the law, we are found guilty, and the wages of sin is death. But the Spirit, the Holy Spirit living in us, makes us aware, brings us to the cross of Jesus Christ, and we have freedom from the punishment of the law. Romans 6:14 says, "For sin shall not be master over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace." Under grace. You know, we don't live by the covenant of the law. We live by the covenant of grace now. We have been forgiven. God has given us grace. He has loved us. And through Jesus Christ, He has forgiven us. And so we have freedom from the law. Not that we ignore the law or we don't try to obey the law and to do what the law is. The law is good. It tells us God's perfect desire for our lives. But it also shows us how much we fail God's perfect desires for our lives. But through the Holy Spirit, the punishment for failing has been removed. Because Jesus Christ, who died in our behalf. Because of sin, the law could only bring condemnation. Again, the law was good. The law was good. And we like to think in today's church that the law has been done away with. But that's not true. Now, if we read Romans 8:3, it says, "For what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did, sending His only Son in the likeness of sinful flesh as man. And as an offering for sin, He condemned sin in the flesh." So in other words, the way of putting this is God sent Jesus to live the life that we couldn't live in the flesh. This Jesus is fully man, also fully God. We're going to be talking about that next week in our class. I know it's shameful that I'm putting these ads in for my class, but you know, we'd like to have you there because the people who are there today, they like to watch the video, then they don't like to show up for the discussion. But I don't know, putting that in their ears. So anyway, it's good. We're going to have a great time next week. So invite you to come. But you know, God, it wasn't God's law that is wrong or that was the problem. The problem is man's sin. Because, again, God gave us an outline or a roadmap of how to be holy. But we can't do it. We can't do it. Only Jesus Christ did it. He fulfilled the law for us. And so in Acts 13:39 we read, "And through Him everyone who believes is freed from all things from which you could not be free through the law of Moses." And again, he's talking about through Jesus Christ, we have been set free, but we couldn't be set free by the law because the law condemned, but the law did not forgive. And so the law was good. It's good. There's nothing wrong with the law. Do not talk ill of the law of God because it's good. It's good. We'll see that. There's a verse that talks about that in just a bit. But again, the requirements of the law we cannot meet. And because we fail at that, the law is perfect, but we're not. And so you have a perfect law and an imperfect person, and they don't match up. And that's when Jesus Christ came in, because He lived that perfect life that we could not live. And because of Him, we are free from the consequences of the law, which had been weakened by us, not by God, not by any other fault, but by us. Which brings us to the next point of this passage of Scripture. Jesus fulfilled the requirements of the law. Jesus fulfilled the requirements of the law. And let's go back to Romans 3 and 4, chapter 8. It says, "Of what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did, sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and as an offering for sin, He condemned sin in the flesh, so that the requirements of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." So, basically, Jesus fulfilled the law. He lived the life that we couldn't live. He fulfilled it in us. And I like that, you know, that Paul says, he fulfilled, that the law might be fulfilled in Him, Well, it was fulfilled in him because he was perfect, but it wasn't for him that he did this. It was for us. He lived a righteous life so that when we come to him and when we claim him as our Lord and Savior, we also claim his perfect life. And we come under his umbrella, our banner, and we're free. We're free. Because Jesus Christ has fulfilled the requirements of the law. And again, the law is important and it isn't perfect. And I don't want to talk it down. Matthew 5, 17 and 18 says, "Do not think that I have," this is Jesus speaking, "do not think that I have come to abolish the law of the prophets." Or, "I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth passes away, not the smallest letter or stroke shall pass from the law until all is accomplished." Jesus is just, and he's saying, "Hey, wait a second, I did not come to abolish it." Folks, the law is still in effect. And it's good, because it shows us how God wants us to live our lives. And it gives us a framework of how we can judge how we're doing. It's kind of a how do you measure up? Well, how can you say, well, how am I doing if you don't know how you're supposed to be doing it? Well, the law tells us how we're supposed to be doing it, what we're supposed to be doing. And so we can measure ourselves, our spiritual health, by the law. And Jesus did not come to destroy the law or abolish it, but to fulfill it. Because the law is going to be here until the end of time. It's going to be here. But Jesus fulfilled the law, and he did it for us. Not for himself. Not to say, gee, I can do that. So you can do it too. No, it's like, I did that. And by you accepting me, you're coming under my banner. You're coming under the work that I did. And because of you accepting me, God is going to forgive you for those things. And you have freedom from the punishment of the law. But there is one thing that is really important. And this comes back down into the spirit and freedom. If we want this freedom, it's there for us. But we must walk by the Spirit. Look at verse 4 of chapter 8 again. It says, "So that the requirements of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." To the Holy Spirit that lives in us. We have listened to the Holy Spirit and we have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, which the Holy Spirit opens up our eyes to see. But that's not where it stops. We are also walking in step with the Spirit. We're letting the Spirit lead us, and we're going to learn a lot more in the weeks to come of what it means to let the Holy Spirit lead us. Again, it's kind of like, you know, you remember earlier in the service when I thought someone was calling my name, you know, and I thought it was someone from the praise team or my wife, you know, and then it's kind of like, you know, is that how the Holy Spirit leads us? You know, I've never heard the Holy Spirit probably talk to me. And I don't think that was the Holy Spirit talking to me. I think it was someone whispering, and that's how my ears interpreted it, as someone was calling my name. Because, again, the only one who would call me Richard or Pastor, well, it wouldn't be my wife. You guys, I guess you would. But I think you were saying, oh, Pastor's time is blue. Or something like that. And I just mistook it as someone calling me. But, you know, so it's kind of a mystery of how the Holy Spirit leads us. But we're going to talk about that. Because it shouldn't be a mystery, because we need to be led by the Holy Spirit. But this freedom that we have in Jesus Christ, the freedom that of being free from condemnation and being free from sin, and we have this just freedom that no one can take away from us. It comes from walking with the Spirit. For yielding with the Spirit. And letting the Spirit lead us. Galatians 5, 16 through 18. And we're going to be looking at Galatians 5 a little bit later. But it says, "But I say," Paul speaking, "walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desires against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law." Again, freedom from the law, or the punishment of the law, it comes by following the leading of the Holy Spirit. We need to walk by the Spirit. Romans 8, 14, just a little bit farther down in the passage of Scripture, Paul writes, "For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God." See, that's the true test of children of God. Are people who are being led by the Holy Spirit. See, that's where true freedom is. That's where true freedom is. Now, we pray for our country, and we pray that our freedoms in our country would continue to be there, and we would have the freedom to worship. But, you know, there is a possibility that if, as years go on, if the Lord doesn't come, that freedom may not exist in our nation anymore. So we may not be doubly blessed, but guess what? We're still blessed because we have freedom in God. We have freedom through Jesus Christ. Just like our brothers and sisters in China. They're not free. And yet they are so free. They are so free. Because they realize that it isn't the government that is the true enemy. But it's sin. In our lives, and in Satan. And when we, through the power of the Holy Spirit, come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, we have that freedom. And that freedom, no one can take away from us. I'm going to invite the deacons to come forward. And I don't know if the praise team is singing, or if Melissa is just tickling the iron, okay? That works for me. But we're going to remember that act that brings us freedom. The act of what Jesus Christ did, having fulfilled the law and doing it perfectly in us, in himself, he then went to the cross. And he became the perfect sacrifice for us. That even though we have sinned, through Jesus Christ, we may live. Even though we are guilty of breaking the law, through Jesus Christ, we have freedom from the law. We have freedom from that condemnation. But it is this act that Jesus Christ did that brings us that freedom. Let's pray. Father, freedom is such a sweet word. Lord, we love being free. We love living in a nation that we have freedom to. Thank you for that. Father, even more important, we have freedom to. Through the work of Jesus Christ, we are free from the penalty of sin and death. We are free from the penalty of not being able to fulfill the law in ourselves. Through Jesus Christ, his life and his death and his his resurrection. Lord, we have freedom. And as we gather around the Lord's table this morning, Lord, help us to truly understand the price of the freedom that we have in Jesus Christ. Lord, be with us. Prepare our hearts as we gather around the Lord's table to remember the work of Jesus Christ. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.